Hey gang, welcome back to Kids Church and welcome to my house. So today what we're going to talk about is interior decorating and a way to generate space and balance within your living quarters. So, Hello. Hey Josh, how you doing, buddy? What, you were supposed to be here in 15 minutes. You're not going to be here for 2 hours. I rearranged my entire schedule today for this. You have inconvenienced me, sir. All right, okay, I get it. You overslept. That's okay. Yeah, it's totally understandable that you fell asleep while you were eating your breakfast. Yeah, that's fine. I'll just meet you. I'll meet you at 3 o'clock. That sounds good. Okay, thanks, buddy. All right, bye-bye. I sure hope Josh keeps his word and shows up and meets me at 3 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to Kids Church. I'm so glad you are here with us today. You have a very, very important lesson that we all need to learn. But I want you to know something. Today we are talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness for ourselves, forgiveness for others. Did you know that when we don't forgive others, it's like we are in a trap? We're going to be talking about that today. So right now, what I need you to do is go get your Bible, get some pen and paper, and come right back here. And I'm going to encourage you to take notes today and count how many times we talk about forgiveness.
Where is this guy? I'm not even wearing a watch, but I know this dude's late.
Hey, Mike.
Hey man.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I got caught up watching the Star Wars. I didn't really want to miss the end. But hey, here now. Better late than never, right?
I mean, it's been over an hour, and I rearranged my entire schedule for this, and now you're late again.
Oh, I'm sorry if I inconvenienced you, man. Brought your tool back, though. Hope you aren't too mad at me.
No, see, I forgive you, Josh. I forgive you. Hey, there's no battery in this. Like, I lent him the tool that I don't even have the battery in this. I'm going to have to go get another. You know what? Here's the bottom line, kids. I am not having a very good Josh day today. And I've got to go to Home Depot and get another battery for my drill.
Hey, today's scripture verse that we are learning today is so important. So I want you to know it in your head and get it down into your heart. And this verse is found in 1 John, which is in the New Testament, and it's kind of toward the back of the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 9. So find it, underline it, and get back with me. So I'm going to read this verse to you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us. Let's talk about this. So what is confess? Confess really means to tell on yourself. Have you ever been in trouble and you've gone to your parent and said, I did this? You confessed to them. So sin is anything that separates us from God. It could be thinking wrong thoughts, speaking bad words, disobedience, breaking the law, things that are not good that we do. It could be attitudes, anything that separates us from God is a sin. All right, now here's a word, faithful. What does faithful mean? Faithful means that Jesus will always keep his word. He will always do what he says he will do. He is faithful, and he wants us to be faithful too. And then cleanse. I'm sure you know what cleanse means. It means like washing yourself clean. So in this verse, it says, if we confess our sins, if we tell Jesus our sins, then he will absolutely, positively forgive us our sins, and he'll make us clean on the inside. So this is how we're going to do this verse. We're going to say it three different ways. But do you notice on the slide it says, there's an underline under the word confess, sins, him, faithful, forgive, and cleanse. So we're going to say this verse normal, except when we come to those underline words, we're going to yell those words. Now, not screech, yell. So on the count of three, we're going to start with 1 John 1, 2, 3. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us. Okay, that was a little weird, wasn't it? So this time, those underlined words, we're going to whisper them. You ready? Normal voice, starting with 1 John 1, 2, 3. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us. All right, did you do it? Now this time, those underlined words, we're going to say it in a low voice. You got it? On the count of three, starting with 1 John 1, 2, 3. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us. Very good.
Hey, I'm back from Home Depot. Got a new battery, and I used it to set up my new easel because I'm going to do some painting. You know what? Getting this new battery, I'm going to make a phone call real quick first. Hey, Josh, it's Mike. Hey. Yeah, no, I just got back from Home Depot. Yeah, I had to buy a new battery for my drill because when you dropped it off, you didn't have the battery. I don't know, you lost it or you just didn't bring it back. So, I mean, that thing was $45, man. Well, I mean, I would like you to pay half. You don't have the money to pay half. Yeah, I can wait until payday. I can wait until payday. Yeah, I know. I know you're sorry. Yeah, I forgive you. I know Jesus wants me to forgive you too. Yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, you can just pay it at payday. Okay, all right. All right, bye. I don't think he's going to pay me. So, you know what? I've decided I'm not going to do any painting. I knew this was going to happen. So, check this out. I was already ready for this. I knew this was going to happen. This, I've had a bad Josh day. I'm going to make a bad Josh board. All right? Let's just go ahead and I'm going to keep track of everything. So, Josh originally was supposed to meet me, and he was late. He was late. And then he didn't show up for another 2 hours. And then when he did get here, he brought my tool back, but my tool was broken. just going to keep running track. You know what? I'm just going to keep track of everything that Josh has done that's bad. And at some point, I'm going to let this guy have it.
Man, I hope Mike isn't mad at me. We've been friends for years. You know, I remember fishing with him last month. Oh, I got the hook in his finger. I was like, ah! Like, and he's like, yeah, I got him in the finger. And then that one time we went out to eat, man, that was such a good meal. I forgot my wallet. Crud. And he had to pay for it. He seemed kind of mad, but maybe he wasn't that mad. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Then I ran over his foot that one time. But man, that video on YouTube was hilarious. I was like, ah! And it was like 3 months he was in the cast. But that's not that long, because it could have been like 6 months or 9 months. Man, he always gets me out of trouble. He's always pulling me out of trouble. I really appreciate him a lot. Just wish that he would appreciate me the way I appreciate him.
You know, I've been thinking about it, and Josh seems to always take advantage of me. I mean, everything that's happened, like, oh, I can remember the one time he caught me in the finger with a fish hook. I'm on the board. And then there was another time we went out to eat, and Josh lost his wallet. I ended up having to pay for the whole meal, right? And then there was one time he was sitting in my driveway watching YouTube videos, and he backed up his car and ran over my foot. And that set me back like 3 months just to get healed from all that. And we already talked about he was late coming over, and then he showed up and he broke my tool, and he also tried to weasel out of paying for it. Why do I always let Josh take advantage of me?
Hi guys, Miss Lois here, and I've got a story, and it's from Scripture. Now I know you've already got your Bibles, so open them up to the book of Matthew and find chapter 18. Read verses 21 through 35. And when you're done, come back. You know, when you're reading through this, maybe you can create a play out of it. Maybe you can act it out yourself. Maybe you can read it to someone. But get in that Bible and really read this first, okay? Come on back then, and I will tell you this story. All right, I hope you're back and ready to go. Here goes my story. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone? 7 times? No, said Jesus, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to meet with the servants who owed him money. One of them owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so he was going to be sold with his wife and children and everything that he had. So the man fell down and begged, please be patient and I will pay it all. The king had mercy. He released him and forgave his debt. The man, he was free. He was released. But when he saw a fellow servant who owed him a few $100s, he grabbed her and demanded payment. The fellow servant begged, be patient with me, and I will pay it. I will. But the man refused and threw her into prison. The king, well, he was told what had happened. And so the king brought the man in to his palace again and said, you evil servant, I forgave you millions. Shouldn't you have mercy on others as I had mercy on you? The angry king put the man in prison until he paid his entire debt. The Heavenly Father wants us to forgive as he forgave us. But if we refuse to forgive, we will bring bad things upon ourselves.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I don't even want to be Josh's friend anymore. I mean, I'm going to make sure that this guy can never take advantage of me again. I can't even stand the sight of that guy. I mean, like, how many times are you supposed to forgive this dude?
70 times 7.
70 times 7? That's like 490 times. I mean, there's got to be a limit, right?
How many times have I forgiven you, Mike?
Well, more times than I can imagine.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Josh.
I kind of sense that you're still kind of mad at me. Are you still mad at me about the drill and stuff like that? I mean, sorry. I know I caught you in the finger when we were fishing, and I'm sorry about and then ran over your foot. I guess I shouldn't watch YouTube while I'm driving. I borrowed $500 from your wife, and she said you wouldn't mind. I'll pay her back and everything. And then I was bad-mouthing you to your friends in the neighborhood. And that time I yelled at you about the politics. Yeah, that one. And then that time I was making fart noises when you were talking in front of people. And then that time I was, I kicked your chickens in the backyard and one of them couldn't lay eggs anymore. Remember that?
Wow. Jesus taught us to forgive 490 times. That doesn't mean that we keep track every time someone hurts us or offends us or does something to us. You know, when we hang on to hurt, it's kind of like poison. Unforgiveness is like taking poison but expecting someone else to die. If you call yourself a Christian, it means that you forgive the inexcusable in other people because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. You know, forgiveness is a heart condition. Sometimes when we are hurt, it feels like someone stabbed us in the heart. Our feelings hurt so much. And it's hard to forgive when someone hurts us. But forgiving does not mean that you let people take advantage of you over and over or hurt you over or over or do things that are not right for you. It does not mean that you allow bad things to happen over and over. But what it does mean is that you don't allow hatred for someone to stay inside of your heart. Because hatred for someone inside of your heart turns into bitterness and unforgiveness. And Jesus wants us to forgive others just like he forgives us. You know, Jesus has given us so much. He's forgiven us for all the dumb things we've done and all the things we've done on purpose to others. And he wants us to extend that to other people. You know, I think back to when I was a little girl. I had an older brother. His name is Dennis. And Dennis and I fought all the time. He was bigger than me. He called me names. He teased me. He kind of bullied me. And I would get so mad at him. I got so mad at him once that I took a pan and hit him over the head with it. I got in trouble for that. He wasn't hurt, but I got in trouble for it. It was later on when I had asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of all my sins that God started changing my heart toward my brother. And I started forgiving him for all the mean things he had done to me. You know, Jesus wants to set us free from the trap of sin. But if we keep holding on to that trap, if we keep holding on to unforgiveness, it's like we're in a prison. And unforgiveness is hard to shake when we're in a prison of unforgiveness. But just remember this, Jesus went to the cross and died to take on all of our sins, to forgive us of all the dumb things we have done and all the things that we shouldn't have done. And he took them on himself when he was on the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross, did he? He rose up from the grave. And he did that so that we could walk in forgiving others. You know that song, Let It Go, Let It Go? I'm not going to try to sing it. But that's what Jesus did with our sins. He let them go. And he wants us to let them go too.
So we can all think of a time when somebody did something dumb. They did something that they knew they shouldn't have done. That's why it's so important for us to run away from those traps of temptation. But occasionally, we fall into the same thing. We do something we know we shouldn't have done, and we end up inside this trap of temptation. So the big question is, when we do something dumb, when we sin, how do we get out? How do we get out of the trap of temptation? When we are born again, we're changed on the inside. Our old sinful heart is removed and is replaced with a good new heart. This is our new spirit, the real us, and our new spirit only wants to do right. But not every part of us was made new when we were born again. Our bodies and minds didn't change. They are not born again, and occasionally they still want to do wrong. This is where temptation comes from. And when we give in to temptation, when we go from wanting to do something wrong to actually doing something wrong, we sin. And sin is like a smudge, a stain on the inside of us. And when we get a sin stain on the inside, we don't need another new heart. We don't need to be born again a second time. We simply need to be cleaned on the inside. A lot of people, when they mess up, when they sin, they try to cover up that stain. They try to pretend that nothing ever happened. But that's not the truth. That stain is still there. You can fake it all day long, but it doesn't make it go away. Other people think, okay, because I messed up, because I did something wrong, then to get rid of it, I need to do a lot of really good things. So I'm gonna clean my room, I'm gonna do the dishes, I'm gonna pet the dog, I'm gonna go visit grandma. But no matter how many good things you do, it doesn't make that sin go away. There's only one thing to take away that stain. God tells us this in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, God will forgive our sins and cleanse us. That means the start to getting out of this trap is by confessing. We need to confess to get out. Say it after me. Say, confess to get out. That little word confess simply means to tell on yourself, to go to God and say, God, I messed up. I told a lie to my parents, and I'm so sorry. Help me not to do that again and to tell the truth in Jesus' name. When we do that, when we tell on ourselves, we're confessing to God, and that's the start to getting out of the trap. When we pray and confess our sin to God, it's like Jesus takes a big sponge and scrubs away our sin, making us clean on the inside. That's why if we sin, it's so important to confess quickly. Like any mess, the longer it goes without being cleaned, the bigger and nastier the mess gets. So don't wait. Pray and confess as soon as you can to have the sin removed. We've got to confess to get out.
So, remember that pen and paper I had you get earlier? This is what I'd like you to do. I wonder if maybe there's something on your heart that you need to confess. Maybe you had an argument with your brother or your sister, or you talked back to your parents, or you took something that doesn't belong to you, or you have hatred for someone. I don't know what it is, but if you have something that you need to confess to Jesus to be forgiven, I want you to write that down on your paper. push pause, and then get back with me. Okay, I'm glad you wrote something down. So now we're going to pray, and we're going to confess our sin to Jesus and ask him to take it away, to take us out of that trap. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, I confess to you my sin. I ask you to wipe it clean from my heart and to change me on the inside. Thank you that you died on the cross to take away my sins. I pray that you help me not to fall into that trap anymore. In your holy name, amen.
If you just said that prayer, if you just confessed to God and you meant it, and you're going to purpose to not do that thing again, then right now, you're forgiven. But there's still one more person you need to confess to fully get out of this trap. Think of a mouse that gets stuck in a trap. He can't get out all by himself. He needs somebody to help him out. We're the same way. When we get stuck in this trap of temptation, we need somebody to help us out too. We need to confess to them. This is an authority figure. You need to tell them. This could be a coach. This could be telling a teacher. But usually, this is telling your parents, saying, "Mom, Dad, I did this." And this is the hardest part. It's no fun. It's difficult. But if you really want to get out of this trap of temptation, you've got to confess to somebody else. Not only will they help get you out of this trap by confessing to them, but they can also help you avoid getting in this trap again. So here's your assignment. Today, before you go to bed, confess. Tell the person you need to, that authority figure, mom, dad, let them know what you did. Let them know what happened so they can help you get out of that trap. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. You know what's so cool is God knew exactly how we were going to mess up, exactly what we were going to do even before we did it. And still, God sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross, to come back to life, so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have that new spirit. But maybe you're here today and you don't have that new spirit. You've never been born again, but you want to. If that's you, we can help you get that new spirit right here, right now. If that's you, I want you to say this prayer out loud after me. And Jesus says, when you do this, you'll be born again. You'll be new on the inside. Everybody, will you bow your heads and close your eyes? And everybody say this prayer out loud and proud after me. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus is your son. Jesus died on the cross and you brought him back to life. Jesus, you are my boss. I am born again. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up here. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, right now you are born again. You have a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, and we are so excited for you. For all of our friends that just prayed that prayer, let's give them a great big round of applause.